Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise. I hope you're all doing well. I am doing well, so that's good. It's been such a beautiful weekend. I'm recording this on a sunny Sunday morning, and we've had just the most gorgeous weekend here in New York City. It has been sunny and 70 all weekend. It's sunny right now and 70. I have the windows open. Well, not at the moment because I don't want all the street noises coming in to the microphone, but I have had the windows open when I'm not recording, and just having the crisp spring air coming into my apartment and hearing the birds chirping and just the sounds of spring outside make me so happy. I honestly can't even explain in words how happy it makes me. It makes my chest feel warm, like my heart feels warm when that is happening. I love it. I love it so much. I love spring. I'm realizing I have always said that fall is my favorite season, but I don't know. I'm noticing some things now that I'm like, maybe I'm a spring girl. Anyway, I'm great. I am excited to sit down and record this episode today because I'm going to be doing something that I haven't done before, which isn't really saying much considering this is only my 18th episode of this podcast. So I haven't really been doing this podcast in general for that long, but this is something new, and this episode was inspired by my friend Ava and her podcast, On My Mind. She recently did an episode with her boyfriend where they played the We're Not Really Strangers card game together, and this made me remember a few things. Number one, that I own this game. Number two, that I have never played this game. I have this game because obviously with the intention of playing it, I just have never played it. So that's the second. And then number three, I remembered that a while back, and I wish I could remember who it was that posted this, but somebody posted on their story. I think it was on Instagram or I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think that's where I saw it. Somebody was saying that they used this card game and it's designed to play with other people and learn more about other people, but they were saying that they will use these cards as journal prompts for their own self-reflection. And that's honestly what inspired me to even buy this game, because obviously I feel like this would be really fun to play with other people, but I thought it was a really interesting idea to use these cards as journal prompts. As journal prompts for self-reflection and just getting real with yourself, which I just love that. I am very real with myself, and I'm also, I feel like, very open and transparent on my social media platforms as well. I am really open about my struggles with mental health. I am open about when I feel like I'm struggling. I mean, I made a whole podcast episode about how I was not doing well, and I've talked about my anxiety probably on every single episode. I've talked about it on my YouTube channel. I talk about it all the time. And so I thought it would be fun and interesting and a bit introspective, I guess, and good for y'all to maybe learn more about me if I played this game with myself right now and did what that person was saying and use these kind of as journal prompts, because this podcast is called Digital Diary. Diary. So these are like diary prompts, you know? I thought it worked. I was completely inspired to do this by Ava, so shout out to her. You probably already listened to her podcast. If you don't, you should. But I'm excited to get into this because, as I said, I've never opened this game. I've never played it. So I have the box in front of me, and I'm going to open it now and read the directions because I kind of know the gist of the game, but I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know exactly all of it. So, all right, there's three sets of cards in here. There's a pencil. There's something called the final card. That's ominous. Instruction manual. How to play. Do you really know your best friend? How well do you know your mother or sister or anyone else close to you? We're Not Really Strangers is a purpose-driven card game. Three carefully crafted levels that allow you to deepen your existing relationships and create new ones. Alternate back and forth until a minimum of 15 cards are played for each level. Once we're not doing all that, that'd be a long ass episode. But once 15 cards or more have been played per round, feel free to advance to the next level. Okay. Level one is perception. Do you know how others see you? Level one is about gaining perspective on what first impressions we give off and challenging the assumptions we make about others. Level two is connection. who are you really? This round is about asking the rarely asked questions and connecting on a deeper level. Level 3 is reflection, time to reflect on your game experience. All right, so I'm trying to figure out which one I should start with. I guess we could start with perception and then we'll move through the levels. Let's move through the levels. And if there's any that I feel like are really meant for like me asking someone else, or it's like, what did you think of me the first time you met me? You know, I'm not going to answer those because that doesn't make sense. Oh, I almost forgot. Before we really get started into the game, I need to talk about what I'm drinking today. This is the same thing I'm always drinking. I feel like my at-home iced coffee. It hits different on a Sunday. I can't explain it. It just does. A sunny Sunday morning with the windows open, fresh spring air coming in, and my at-home iced coffee. I don't know what is better than that. It's just a latte with oat milk, a little bit of hazelnut, creamer, cinnamon, and a dash of this syrup that I got from TJ Maxx ages ago. I actually use this all the time. I just have never mentioned it, but it's a little syrup and it's a cinnamon dolce sweetener, but it's a zero calorie sweetener, whatever. So all that's in there, iced obviously, and it's so freaking good. So that's what I'm drinking, feeling good. I'm really excited to get into this game. So let's begin with level 1. Level 1, perception. Okay, that's a question for another person. I feel like these might be a little hard. So actually, maybe I should not do level 1 because this is asking obviously what other people are thinking of me, and that's kind of hard to answer myself. So actually, I'm going to do level 2. Sorry, false advertising. We'll start with level 2. Level 2 is connection. So I feel like this could be good. Question number 1. Ooh, God. We're really getting into it. Fuck. This one says, are you lying to yourself about anything? Probably. But what? That's really deep. Give me a second. I think sometimes I lie to myself in a fake it till you make it kind of way. Like if I tell myself, I don't know, but is that a lie then? I guess, that's hard. I guess it wouldn't be a lie. It's hard because sometimes I feel like what I'm saying to myself is the truth, but it may not actually be, you know, if that makes any sense. Like, for example, sometimes when I look in the mirror, I will like pick apart what I look like and critique myself. And that doesn't mean it's true, though. Like calling myself mean things, I don't feel like is me telling myself the truth. I guess could that be considered me lying to myself? I guess that could be. That's really the only thing I can think of off the top of my head right now. I don't want to sit here for 17 hours and like, I'm only on the first question. I guess I lie to myself when I get down on myself, because I know in my heart that stuff that I say when I'm not feeling my best isn't true. I guess I also lie to myself. I'm thinking of other things. Damn, this is a good game. I see why people like it. Shit, okay. I think I lie to myself when I discredit myself, or when I minimize what I'm doing, or I minimize accomplishments, or just where I'm at in life. I tend to do that because I let outside influences and opinions get to me. And then I kind of internalize those, even though I know that that's not the truth. For example, I think something I lie to myself about is that I don't do anything, or that what I do as my job, content creation, isn't a job and it's not valuable and it's not adding anything. I think I lie to myself about that because I know what I do behind the scenes. I see what I do behind the scenes and nobody else sees that. But when the discourse online is, or not even just online, but amongst people sometimes can be that if you are a content creator, like you are basically worthless and you add nothing of value, and what you're doing isn't a job, and you need to get a real job because what you're doing is not a real job, and all of that. I guess I let that get to me, and then I will lie to myself and be like, well, you don't even do anything, so you don't deserve to feel this way or whatever. That is not true. I know what I'm doing is work. And first of all, anything that you do that pays your bills and sustains your life financially is a job. I don't know when we started telling other people that what they do to sustain themselves financially and what they do to earn money isn't a real job, or it's not real, just because we don't know exactly what goes on behind the scenes. I guess I do lie to myself about that kind of often, because I let outside influences cloud what I know to be true. And so I end up lying to myself. I'm not saying this to anyone else. Like, if any of my friends came to me and said, oh, so-and-so thinks what I do isn't a job, I'd be like, are you kidding me? Obviously it is. But then when it's myself, I'm like, well, you don't even do anything. You don't even have a job. Like, you add nothing of value. So I guess that's actually a good one. Next card. Is there a feeling you miss? Yes. I'm trying to think of exactly what it is. Oh, yes, I know what it is. I miss the feeling when I was younger. I was in elementary school and I would be sitting in school and it would be the end of the day. This is such a very specific memory for me, and I've talked about this actually before on the podcast in my episode about creativity, but this is a feeling that I miss so much. I miss, oh wait, I thought of another one. I feel like a lot of these are from childhood. I miss the feeling of sitting in school. We're like about to be dismissed for the day and go home. And I would sit in the classroom. I had a little notebook that I would write ideas down for video ideas for my American Girl Doll YouTube channel. I was just so excited. And I had so many ideas. And I would sit there at the end of the school day and write down my ideas because I was so excited to go home and do them. That's one that I miss because it was just so pure and there was nothing else I had to think about. It was just, I'm excited to do this, and then I would go home and I would get to do it, and it was the best feeling ever. Another feeling that I miss is the last day of school. Specifically when I was in elementary school, the last day of school hit so different. I remember vividly one time. It was the last day of school in one of my elementary school grades, and I went home, and it was like, you know, I think it was like May, June. When did we end school back then? I don't know, because it's kind of different in college. The schedules are different. Maybe June. It was like warm outside. It was sunny. It was like 3 or 4 p.m., and I came home, and we had this like speaker stereo system thing in our living room, and I put in a CD. Couldn't tell you what CD, but I put in a CD, and I just had a literal dance party in my living room because I was so happy that it was summer. I was over the moon. So I had a dance party. I missed that feeling because that was so good. I don't miss school. And also it doesn't hit the same when you get older, because then over the summer, like, you have a job and it's not just carefree, no responsibility fun like it was when you were younger. So I do miss that. I think that was so pure. And it's so funny how I remember such specific memories, but I can't remember like 95% of my childhood, just these very specific niche things. Ooh, another feeling that I miss actually is in the fall, waking up on a Saturday, specifically I think when I was like in high school, and it being like a crisp fall morning, the crisp fall air outside, maybe the leaves were falling, I don't know. And just knowing that I'm gonna sit in my living room and watch college football all day. Something about that hit so different. All right, that's it for that question. Ooh, What is a dream you've let go of? An obvious answer would be I've let go of the dream that I had to like be in a stable relationship, married even at this age. I'm 24. When I was younger, dreamed that I would have been in a steady relationship at this point. I would have been in love with somebody who was good to me and just like in a really healthy relationship, and maybe I would be engaged, maybe I'd be married, maybe I'd even have a family, but I've let go of the dream of having that all figured out in my early to mid, honestly, 20s, because it's just not how things have played out, which is okay, but I also get in my head about, because I get nervous. I'm only 24, which is really young, and I need to just chill. I know that, but I just feel behind. And I don't know if it's behind because I see a lot of people around me who are in stable relationships, like people my age, people who are married my age, people who have kids at my age and younger. And I'm looking at myself and I'm like, okay, I am completely single. I have no prospects. I don't have any direction. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not even putting myself out there to meet anyone because I don't want to be on dating apps. I don't want to do all of that. Like, dating culture in our generation, I just don't like. I want to meet someone naturally, organically. I want to meet someone out, I don't know, and just like click. But I don't know, like that maybe is a dream that I let go of being sure about that stuff at the point in my life that I am, because I'm completely unsure of it right now. And I don't know how, it feels so impossible to me. It feels so impossible, the thought of having someone like that. It just doesn't feel like it's ever going to happen for me, which is really sad to say, but I don't know. I guess that could be an answer, because that was always something that I dreamt about when I was younger, and just I assumed that at this point in my life that's I would have that part figured out, and I don't. So I also just don't even know how it would happen in my mid to late 20s at this point. I'm 24, I'm almost halfway through my 20s, and I'm nowhere. And it's not something that I feel like can just happen, and then, you know, it probably would take time, and I don't know. I just feel behind, and I feel like I've had to let go of the dream of having my family and, like, my relationship and all of that completely, like, solid and figured out by this point in my life, because it just has not played out that way. So yeah. All right, next. Ooh, this is a fun one. What's been your happiest memory this past year? I feel like saying happiest is hard, because then every time I think of a memory that I was happy, and I'm like, well, was this the happiest that I was the entire time? Like, when was the time I was the happiest? And first of all, my memory is not very great. Second of all, I have recency bias. I know that's only talking about the last year, so it's not, I mean, it's all pretty recent. But I keep thinking of things and I'm like, well, is that the happiest, or is that just like, was there something else that was better that I don't remember? Like, I don't know. It's really not that serious. I need to just chill. Maybe I can just name a few things. All right, I'm just going to say fuck it and name a few, because I can't pick just one. So one that's very high up there is Harry Styles. Shocker, Harry Styles concert at Madison Square Garden, night one of his MSG residencies, because we had a conversation during the concert. When he was having a fan interaction, I yelled at him and he asked, do you trust me? And I said, no, and whatever. So that was fucking insane. Like, actually, I was over the moon about that for a long time, and I'll probably never shut up about it to this day. That was August, I believe, August 2022. So that was within 365 days. That was one of my happiest memories, because it was, I mean, for obvious reasons. I think another one is that I attended my first Friendsgiving this past Thanksgiving season with friends that I met in New York, and we sat on their rooftop, well, their former rooftop, they've since moved, but we sat on the rooftop with a view of the Empire State Building, and we had Friendsgiving, and I've never been a part of a Friendsgiving before until this, so it was really special to me, and just to be able to do that in literal New York City was unreal. I think another one that I have to add, even though it was so recent, but I definitely feel like I was so happy, was my birthday weekend. I remember sitting in Central Park when we were setting up the picnic and setting up the charcuterie board, and I was like, I am having a birthday picnic at Central Park in this city, in New York City, and I live here. It was so nice. And I had Amanda with me, and she was just helping me out. And I was just so happy that day. Everything was perfect. And it just made it, my heart was so full. And then besides the ones that involved other people, I honestly think that one of the times that I am the happiest is when I come home from being anywhere and Charlie, my cat, she'll run up to the door and she'll greet me. And then I'll sit on the couch with her and just have a chill night. And she'll like sit up on the back of the couch right by me and like purr, and we'll just sit and hang out together. That's a really simple one, but I feel so happy in those moments. Like, my heart feels so full. I'm in my apartment, which I love so much. Charlie is literally the light of my life, and she makes my heart feel so warm every day. So that's another one, I think. It's hard to pick just one, because then it makes me question everything about it. And I'm like, well, was this really the happiest, or was there something else? So there's a few. That's a good one. That would be a good journal prompt, I think. Oh my God. Okay. What is your first love's name and the reason you fell in love with him or her? Well, okay. So I think my first love was in high school. I think that this person was my first love. But it's hard because was it my first love or was I just 15? You know? Like, did I know what love was? I don't know, but maybe that it was my first love for what I knew love to be at the time, which still counts, right? Oh, it's hard. Okay. I never even told this person. No, I did. I told this person that I loved them when we were breaking up. So that was good. I think it's them. Like, was it my first love or was I just 15? And like super attached and have never been in an actual relationship before. I don't know. I'm still fuzzy on that. I mean, I literally thought I was going to marry this person, so maybe that was my first love. I'm trying to decide between my two high school boyfriends. I had two boyfriends in high school. Well, not obviously not at the same time. Maybe that's not obvious, but no, not at the same time. The first one was my sophomore year of high school, and then the second one was my senior year of high school going into my freshman year of college. I think the first one had to have been. I was like head over here. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. All right. So my first love's name was Johnny. Shout out Johnny. We're cool now. We weren't at the time. That's a long story I'm not going to get into right now, but that's because that's not the question. But what is your first love's name, Johnny, and the reason you fell in love with him? Ooh, but like fell in love is really weighted. Like that's a really strong phrase. Like fell in love. Like did I love them or was I in love? I feel like those are two different things. I'll just say why I feel like I loved him, okay? Not necessarily in love, because that's like very weighted. I know what it is. I know what it is. Okay, it's because I felt safe with him. It's because I knew no matter what would happen, if anything were to happen, I would be safe with him. He would not let anything bad happen to me. I completely had faith in that. He made me feel safe. And I knew that I would be safe and I would be okay if I was with him. And my parents felt that way too, that they knew that no matter what happened between us or whatever, like he would not let anything bad happen to me on his watch. So I just always felt safe and secure when I was with him. I think that has to be what it is. That just came to me, but I think it was that. All right. Shout out Johnny. If anyone's listening to this and you know him, don't tell him that I said that. I don't want to boost his ego anymore. Okay. Next. Oh my God. I'm exposing myself right now on this podcast. Okay, this one says, are you missing anyone right now? Do you think they are missing you too? Well, I miss my mom. I miss my family. I think they're missing me too. I just saw them a couple weeks ago, but I'm always missing them when I'm not with them. I'm missing my grandpa, but he passed away, so I don't think he's missing me too. Honestly, let's just talk about my first gut reaction to this question. I think I've been missing this person, which led me to reach out to them a little while ago. They said that they missed me too. I don't know. But yes, I was really missing my ex-best friend. That girl and I were like sisters for almost 10 years. And then we had a falling out a couple years ago and we hadn't spoken at all, which was so fucking weird. I can make a whole episode on friendship breakups because they are arguably more painful than relationship ones, especially when it's someone who is as close as we were. Like, she was my girl, like my go-to person, and just kind of cutting that off abruptly and then never speaking again for 2 years almost was so fucking weird. Like, she was always the person that I would go to and tell everything first. Like, she knew everything about me. I would share such happy moments with her, but also she'd be there for me in sad moments. It was just so weird to go from that to nothing at all. And when the dust settled and I kind of was more removed from the situation, I was like, damn, I like miss her in my life. So what lesson took you the longest to unlearn? I think I'm still unlearning this one. So I guess that would count because it's been like a very long, several year journey. But I think a lesson, if you could call it that, that my past relationships taught me, not that this is a true thing, just I guess something I thought I learned, was that you can't trust anyone ever. I'm still unlearning that. I just struggle so much with trusting people. I have a lot of trust issues, if you will, because of the times I have been burned and done wrong. I kind of just accepted that everyone was going to do that and that no one was trustworthy. And essentially, I guess the lesson would be that if I put myself out there and like put my trust in someone, they would betray it. And that's not true, obviously. And I'm literally still unlearning it. But it's hard when that's all you know. Or at least that's most of what you know. That the people you let in and the people you let get closest to you will fuck you over. I feel like a lot of us probably have experienced this in some way, shape, or form. And this is really, really hard to unlearn. Really hard. Because when there's so much evidence that you can look back on and be like, well, this has happened this time, this time, this time, this time, this time, this time, you know, it just starts to feel like since it's happened so much, like, why would it not happen again? What is stopping it from happening again? So I'm still unlearning that. It is so hard and it's a work in progress. Jesus. Okay. What's the most pain you've ever been in that wasn't physical? When Johnny broke up with me. When I was 15. I was so unwell. The night we broke up, I was sobbing in my room in the dark, like all night. I cried so hard that I think I threw up. I think I cried so hard that I threw up and popped a blood vessel in one of my eyes because of how hard I was crying and throwing up. And I know crying, throwing up is like a funny phrase, but I meant it so dead ass serious. I was crying and throwing up that night. And then the next day I had to go to school because it was like a school night. And I walked in the fucking school building and one of his friends, I don't know if he knew, I guess maybe he did what happened, but he like came up to me and said something to me about it. Not in a mean way. He was asking like, how are you? And I started crying again. And then my first period class, wait, no, before that I got into homeroom and I sat at my desk and fucking cried. I put my head down on my desk and my homeroom teacher, literally, this was so funny looking back, but he had a tissue box on his desk and he got up and like took the tissue box and put it on my desk in front of me. Didn't say anything. No one said a word. It was dead silent, but I was just sitting there with my head down on my desk sobbing. And my homeroom teacher placed a box of tissues next to me. And then I went to my first period class and I was sitting at my desk still crying. And my angel of a teacher pulled me out into the hallway and just literally sat there with me the whole time and just talked to me and just helped me calm down. And I am so grateful for that, because if not, I probably would have been crying like the rest of the fucking day, the whole day. But yeah, that was really, really, really bad. I was going through the stages of grief. It was so painful. And that was my first ever heartbreak. So I feel like if you have been through a first heartbreak, you know what that feels like. And it was brutal, especially when you're the one who's getting broken up with. That was my first love, first heartbreak. I thought I was going to be with that person forever. I literally could not see my life without him. And then all of a sudden, he went from being my best friend to nothing. And then obviously we went to school together. So I would see him. And I would see all his friends, and I'd be reminded of it all the time. And it made me sick, obviously, because I was crying, throwing up so bad the night before that I popped a blood vessel in my eye. But that was just a really fucking bad time. And yeah, really bad. All right, that's a lot. Okay, I've been talking for a long time. Maybe I should move on to the third level, reflection. I'm going to pick a card and see what it says. What am I most qualified to give advice about? How to get over heartbreak. Moving right on. It's a great transition to this question from the last one. I think I'm very qualified to give advice about that because I've been through it 2 times majorly. First with Johnny, obviously, as I was saying. And then again with my second high school boyfriend. I think that I am very qualified for that because I've had to get over those things at a young age, especially when there was a lot of drama involved with both of them and just their situations in general. Like, they both had a lot going on, and it was a lot for me to handle as a young person. I mean, I was like 15, 16 with the first one, and then second one I was like 17, 18, 19. So I think I'm definitely qualified about that because I love giving people advice on relationships because I don't have that drama in my life right now. I don't have any relationships to worry about. I just have the traumatic experiences from past ones. And so when anyone I know or any friends or anything go through something like that, I am always the one that I'd love to give advice about it because I just feel like I'm knowledgeable about it. Oh, another thing would be college. I think I give really good advice about college and just the whole process of it in general, I guess. What school you're at, if you don't like it, like, you can transfer. I transferred, so I have a knowledge about that and advice about that, and just the whole college process and journey and how formative it is. I feel like I give really good advice about that too, because you really are finding out who you are in those 4 years. You're trying to figure out what you want to do, who you want to be, who you are. Obviously, I went through college, but I didn't have the college experience per se. I had a very unique experience, and I just feel like I have a lot of insight to share about it. And it's something that I love talking about because, I mean, I learned all of these lessons and I lived through it. So I would like to share them with other people and help out if I can. So I definitely think college is a really big one that I am qualified to give advice about, and also that I enjoy giving advice about. Okay, next. All right, I'm going to ask this about myself. It says, what do you think my defining characteristic is? I think it's my authenticity. Not to suck my own dick or anything, but I just really like being open and sharing my struggles and my perspectives and my experiences and my advice in an authentic way in my personal life and online. I just really, really pride myself on being authentic about stuff like that and being open about it and having the conversation, because I know that other people are feeling it, but someone's got to say it, and I feel like I say it. It feels weird to say the things about myself because I feel like I'm just complimenting myself, but I think that that's definitely one of them. And I think also my tenacity. When I put my mind to something, I'm going to do it. If I want something, I'm going to go get it. I won't stop because somebody else tells me to. Once I've made my mind up about something, I'm going to do it. and I won't let other people stop me. Even though sometimes I'll let them trip me up, I won't let anyone completely stop me from doing something that I want to do. And I have always been very much a go-getter, and I've always been super goal-oriented. And when I wanted something, I went out and got it. I did what I had to do to get it. And I think that aspect of myself is a defining one, because it's gotten me to where I am now. And even with smaller things, as I've moved through life, I've always had that mindset. Like, if I want something, I'm going to do it, and I have to do it myself. I was like that with grades. I was like that with soccer. And I'm like that now. What do you think my weakness is? So what do I think my weakness is? My weakness is taking things personally. 100,000%. I take so much personally because I know myself and I believe in myself. So when somebody else tries to say otherwise, I guess, when I know myself and I know that deep down, like, I am a good person and I love people and I care about people and I do my best, when people try to say otherwise or question my character or talk about things that don't reflect who I am at this point in my life and just use that as the basis for judging me, I really take that personally, because I've worked so hard on who I am and I've been through so much and I've learned through so much and I've fucked up, but I've grown from it. And I have put in work to better myself and to get myself to the point that I am today. And I am really proud of the person that I am today. Basically, I take a lot of things personally, and I also take things as jabs a lot more than they're probably intended to be. I overthink things like crazy. Oh, that's bad too. I mean, my overthinking is another weakness, but I definitely say I take things way too personally, even if they're meant to not be personal or if they're from people who don't know me personally. I always tell other people, if they don't know you personally, don't take it personal. And I know that that's true, but it's just a lot harder for me to apply that to my own life for some fucking reason. I mean, I never can take my own advice, so I guess that's why. But it's easier said than done. I know that it's true, but it's like, well, damn, what they said still hurt because it goes against what I know about myself to be true. So that's one of them. And then my overthinking is another one. I will pick something to fucking shreds in my brain. I will go over it and over and over it and just mull over every single aspect of it, pick it apart, dissect it, like take it way to the extreme. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. But I will overthink until my brain literally can't think anymore. So yeah, maybe it's time to wrap this episode up. But I really enjoyed doing this. This game is really good. I mean, I understand the hype now. I assumed it would be, but now I understand the hype for myself. I love this game. I need to play it with other people. And also, I think I want to start using some of the, I think level 2 questions are really good for journal prompts and self-reflection. I enjoyed this a lot. I might even do a part 2 someday. If y'all enjoy this episode, let me know and I can do another one, because this was fun. And I love that I shared some of this stuff with you guys. I mean, shit. We got kind of deep today. Hope that's okay with you guys. But as I've said, I like being open and sharing my experiences with stuff. And I don't know, hopefully you got to know me a little bit better today. That's going to be it for me today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Digital Diary. I enjoyed hanging out with you today. And I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, an amazing rest of your week. And I will talk to you next week with a brand new episode. Bye.